Be exalted in this place, Lord. Be exalted in this place. Let your mind, your emotions, your will rule and reign here, Lord. That's our desire. That's our way of expressing to you, Lord, that we exalt you. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. The highest exaltation you can receive is our life. We give that to you now. Not just our voice, not just our excitement, not just our tears, but our life, Lord. We give that to you. We give it not in the form that we desire, but we give it in the form that you desire. Teach us your way this morning as we open your word, Lord. As by the Spirit we hear and understand more than we've ever heard or understood before. Let that also exalt you in this place. And then let it not stay here, but let it carry every day of our life out as we reach and touch and speak to others. Let them see and exalt you along with us. That would bring us joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Once again, open our ears and mind as we open the Word. We are open to you. Open, open, open.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Everybody that intends to walk away from your change today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you get my book out of there? Praise the Lord. We're ready to be seated.
Amen.
I'm ready to go. Praise the Lord. How many of you remember last Sunday?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. How many of you have been trying to walk in that? How many of you have been speaking it?
Yes.
Even at the strangest times. This morning my wife got up and walked into my office where I was preparing. She said, I'm tired. I said, no, you're forgiven from tiredness. Now listen to what I just said. You are forgiven from tiredness. You are not required to be tired because you work hard. The world has told you that. We've believed it. That's a lie. You're either forgiven or you're not forgiven. See, what I'm trying to tell you is that we need to stop categorizing God's word and His actions, His forgiveness.
Yes.
It applies to everything that touches our lives.
Amen.
I don't have the right to feelings, I have the right to fact.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
I don't have the right to feelings, I have the right to fact.
Good.
Fact is, I'm forgiven.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to remind you, after I prepared this morning, I've got this on my wall there by my desk, and this is Ecclesiastes 2:26. Y'all remember that?
Yes, I do.
To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Amen.
Now, let's be real just for a second. I haven't seen enough of this.
Amen.
So what does that mean? The word's no good, right?
No.
No, it's still coming.
All right, it's still coming. But what does that also mean? It may mean that I'm not quite pleasing God enough.
Yep.
That's not condemnation. That's a fact.
Amen.
After the service is over today, I'm going to go eat lunch. That's not condemnation. That's a fact.
Amen.
Where joy is tied to a fact or where it's not makes no difference about the fact.
Amen.
Right? So what I wanted to, the reason I held this up to you today is that I want to talk to you about how to please God some more.
Amen.
All right. Where's my book? Here's my book. And we're going to do a little review. The title of the message this morning is My World is a Forgiven World.
Amen.
And I'll just remember that. My world is a forgiven world. Yeah. All right? And they keep talking about this. I don't even know if I was going to say anything, but I guess I will. But last week, I gave you something about the size of this. I gave you something that you can attach to. You know what these things are for?
All these
things together. This is not an anchor bolt. This is just a bolt. All bolts anchor something, of course, but it's also a dumbbell. But I gave you something about this size. The reason I'm saying that is because most of you have never seen a bolt that size. They come bigger, but most of us don't see them. This is a stainless steel bolt. It won't rust. You can't hardly dent it. That S is for Stan. No, it's for strong. Now, what we're going to do today is I'm going to top this off with this. Somewhere you're going to be in the center here to be held. You hear me? We're going to tighten the screws here a little bit, but not for condemnation. We're going to tighten the screws for victory.
Amen.
If you're in here, it's victory. It's not. This is something that's now it's an anchor boat.
Amen.
Something we're going to anchor to. If anybody touches that, watch your toes. All right. If you drop it, you'll be sorry. Don't drop the bolt after I give it to you today.
Amen.
All right. Last week we covered some what I considered some very exciting basic fact. We found it in a few scriptures. I didn't use a lot. And my whole goal was to free ourselves from condemnation from ourselves.
Amen.
Most of us are getting old enough and wise enough to not receive condemnation from the world. So the enemy has found a better approach, and that's to propagate and raise and cultivate and water condemnation in us.
Yep.
Let me read you the scriptures that we read last week. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned.
That's right.
Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
Amen.
Now, once again, I'm going to remind you, I wasn't talking about you and somebody else. I was talking about you and you. Your biggest enemy is you. You've not forgiven yourself from everything. You've not released yourself from everything. Therefore, you are not forgiven from everything, and therefore, you cannot forgive for everything. It's kind of like a cat chasing his tail. Never wins, just chases. That's where the enemy would like for us to be. We can never learn to forgive others until we first learn to forgive ourselves. All right. In Isaiah 53:4-5, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." That's a mistake. Let me remember what I said about this. Anytime we're going through something, God's not doing it to us.
Right.
He may be doing it for us, but he's not doing it to us.
Right.
It's not because we did something bad. It's because we're going to do something good.
Amen.
Verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed."
Amen.
We are healed.
Amen.
Now, is he big enough?
Yeah.
Is he strong enough?
Yeah.
Is he true enough?
Yeah.
So the bottom line here is you don't have any right to be wounded. Please, the next wounded person you talk to, if it's you, tell them you don't have the right to be wounded. Jesus was already wounded.
That's right. Amen.
"Bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace." How long does a bruise take to heal? A good one takes a while, right?
Yeah.
He's already done that. So you don't even have that long to be sore. You don't even have that long to be discolored, cantankerous. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." Do you think he's big enough to buy our peace?
Yeah.
So the next time we're out of peace, it's not him.
That's right.
"And by his stripes, we are healed."
Amen.
1 John 1:7-10. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another."
Right.
You remember this?
Yep.
Forgiveness causes fellowship. Unforgiveness causes division.
That's right.
If I can forgive me, I don't have any trouble. In fact, you're not even an issue if I've forgiven me.
That's right.
You're not even an issue. I've had a lot of problems with people saying you're walking in unforgiveness. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You are not big enough to get me out of forgiveness. And if it's not true, you say it until it is. There's nothing you can do to pull me out of forgiveness. So if I'm walking in unforgiveness, I am not forgiven.
That's right.
Okay. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
That's the truth.
Man.
Is that big enough, strong enough? Is that action,
yeah,
that person?
Yep.
So we don't have any right to walk in anything but a cleansing position, a righteous position, and a forgiven position.
Man.
Now, you remember last week we talked about this. We think that our problems are from our sins. What's the matter? Y'all a little hard shell this morning? It takes a while to soak in? We think that our problems come from our sins. I reminded you last week that God saw the sin before the foundation. You decided to pay for it. It's paid for. You don't have any right to it.
That's right.
He said, "I forgot it. I cast as far as east is from the west." What are you remembering it for? Okay? We're all dealing with, this is a selfish subject. It's about me. It's okay. We need to learn about us once in a while. middle of the night, middle of a problem, middle of a situation, when the enemy does get a foothold and causes you to do something you wish you hadn't have done. What he also tells you is, you know, you've negated every blessing that God ever put in position for you.
That's a lie.
That's what he says.
It's a lie.
And he's faithful to say it over and over and over. And if you don't say something in return, you'll begin to believe that.
That's right.
You got to learn to say something in return. Jesus gave an example like saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, Stan, that'd be calling me, Satan. Go ahead, try it. My work. You know the voice that's against the Word of God, even if it's in you, is still a wrong voice.
That's right.
We've been teaching pretty heavy on Wednesday night about spirit. There's a lot of spirits out there, even yours. You can't even trust yours.
That's right.
I want you to walk, talk, live being forgiven by yourself, mostly. Amen?
Yeah.
Now let's go into today's direction. Deep down in you, especially those that have been raised in the church, deep down in you is a voice that tells you you're no good, that you were born in no good, that you're up to no good, and you always will be. And there's very little time in your life that that voice is not trying to prove that to you. But the Holy Spirit's more faithful than that. We just need to determine who we're going to listen to.
Amen.
I thought this morning, I wish that everybody in this place was as faithful to God as they were their coffee. There's some of you that can't go hardly an hour without some coffee. Some of you go 2 hours. Some of you go once a day. It doesn't make any difference where you're at. Just try being as faithful to God as you are your coffee. I'll even suggest more. Try getting addicted to God like you
Amen.
Are to the coffee.
Amen.
Because some of you can say, "I can't do without that." But I've never heard you ever say, "I can't do without God." Yeah. Try it and see. Now that's free. That little deal's free. We feel in our deepest spirit that we deserve bad things. Listen to this. Because we are inheritably bad. Let me say it more clearly. We inherited bad. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on. This is a participation here. Have you ever heard that you are inherently bad before?
Yeah. I heard that.
Sin nature, right? Well, I'm afraid that's against the Word of God.
Yep.
I'm afraid that that's against the Word of God. I am born inherently bad. That's true. But I'm born again.
Right.
Not inherently bad.
That's right.
Now I just have to decide what voice I'm going to listen to. My wife had a strange question this morning. After I got finished, I sat down. After I finished my breakfast, she said, "What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today? You know, since yesterday I've been planning for today, since early this morning, all morning," she asked me, "what are we going to do today?" I let it go because I didn't want to start preaching yet. So we got in the shower and I said, "I got to tell you something. The rule of life is that if you don't decide, determine, and say you're going to do something different, you're going to do exactly what you did last Sunday. Now, what in the thunder was your question?" Now, come on, I'm talking to you about life. Now, I'm also talking to you about how life has gone down for you from this point backwards and how we can make it different from this point forward.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You have to make a decision. You have to receive some new truth. You have to act on that truth. Are you going to be the same person you were yesterday?
Right.
And nothing could be more boring for me, are you? For you are I to be the same person we were yesterday.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yep.
I'm saying you're boring and I'm boring and let's change.
Amen.
We've listened way too much to other voices instead of the voice of God. I no longer have a sin nature. Now my Bible says, even if the proof is not there, call those things that aren't as if they already are.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, God did not give me the spirit of fear. He did not give me the spirit of a sin nature. I can't die. You listen to me now. I cannot die and be resurrected into the Father and still have sin.
That's right.
It is not possible.
That's right. Amen.
Nobody is going to see the Father ever with sin in their life.
Amen.
So it has to be taken care of. It has to be. And I have to know that it's taken care of. Or I will go around timid with a timid testimony and a timid laying on of hands and a timid faith and never get anything done. I'm telling you, if we could ever could really realize who my Father is, I might be a little more proud.
Amen.
what he's actually done for me before the foundations of the earth. The truth of the matter is, if I'm not forgiven, then I'm not justified. And if I'm not justified, I'm on my way to hell. Okay? All right. Do you know what justified means?
If I never sinned.
That's a pretty good simple definition, just as if it never happened. But it's even a lot deeper than that. I got my dictionary out this morning. I didn't even go to that computer. I went back to, I got about a 50-year-old dictionary. One of those old three-part Webster's, I think it is. Whatever. The white one, not the black leather one that I, but anyway. I opened that thing up and you wouldn't believe the verbiage in there. Because all of the justification, justified, it number one, remember how they're always listed? Every one of them says by God in my dictionary.
Praise the Lord.
It's about what God did for me, not what I did for him.
Amen.
Vindicated is one of the words. Y'all ever been accused of anything? Anybody been accused of anything?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, the word vindication does not let the word accused drop. What it says is the word, when you are accused, vindication is, it's brought out into the light and it's stomped into the ground.
Oh, praise God.
And there's a proclaimer that says, I'm telling you with proof, innocent. The enemy doesn't want you to hear that. The enemy just wants you to walk away from an accusation and it'll say, it'll fall. God, the vindicator, stomps it into the ground, and the word proof means it's given to the entire world and spoken, you are not guilty. A little bit more than just as if I didn't do it. Because that's kind of like saying, let's don't talk about it, and it's not there. Okay?
Amen.
Now, if the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real, if we've decided that it is for me, if I receive it, then I'm free. Now here's where I want to go. I'm not just free from my sins. I'm free from yours. I'm not free from my sins. I'm free from Adam's sin. Now you listen to me. That's important what I just said, because that puts down the Adamic nature that I am commanded by the world to live with. Who is my father, Adam or God?
God.
Then why do I want to take on Adam's nature?
I don't.
What a foolish thing the church has taught us. I'm born again into Adam's nature.
No.
What a crock. All right, let's go deeper. We want to study to show ourselves and to prove ourselves. Not just show ourselves approved, but to show ourselves and prove to ourselves just how free. Y'all get your books, get your study books in, turn to Romans. We're going to spend a few minutes in Romans now. Are you forgiven for your sins?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's not very exciting. Are you forgiven for your sins?
Yes.
How about the ones you're going to do?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now let's read Romans chapter 8. If you believe that, then I also want you to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God did not do a partial work, He did a total work.
Yes. Amen.
Now, listen to this. This is, you've got to get this. If you've got these chronological orders, you must get the fact that God knew you before the foundations of the earth.
Yes.
What that means is warts and all.
Yes. That's
right. Ugly spots, ugly actions and all, He knew you. And He still chose you. He knew Adam was going to sin. He knew you were going to sin. He knew how much you were going to sin. And He said, I've got a plan. Don't you worry about it. Okay. He comes over here and for a while, the plan is tough. Sacrifices and blood. Then Jesus. Jesus was not the beginning or the end of your salvation. Over here was the beginning and the end of your salvation.
Yes.
Before Adam. Do you understand that? See, some of you think it was the time you knelt at an altar, or you prayed, or you said a prayer, or signed a card. Baloney. It was back here with God. That's when your forgiveness was. See, you didn't confess. You thought you confessed only past tense up to birth.
Yeah, that's right.
So you thought you were only responsible for your sins at birth. You weren't. You were responsible from Adam on, the sins. That's what was on your shoulders. Until Jesus put them on His, the entire world's sins were on your shoulders. That's why nature is bad. That's why the foolish fathers, when they see a hurricane or they send a tornado, it's an act of God. They never wanted to say it's an act of our nature and our flesh. But I'm telling you, before you ever confessed your sins, you carried the sins of the entire world. You were born with the sins of the entire world. You just hadn't committed your part yet.
Yeah.
You don't believe it? Cross somebody and see the nature. Just cross them. From the time they're little and they're throwing a wall-eyed hissy, till the time they're big and throwing a wall-eyed hissy. That nature is in them. The Adamic nature. Let's go ahead. Just cover it. You got it. You shared the sins of the entire world. The sins of the entire world affected not only you, everybody that you knew, but all the world that you knew. Where were we before sin? In the garden, cool of the day, with God. Right? But I didn't do what Adam did. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Yeah, your seed did exactly that. Adam's seed, which is you, did exactly that. Rebelled against God, took His crown, His throne away, rejected Him, and kept right on with your own crown and your own throne and your own kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's what we're guilty of. That's what we've placed into this world. Jesus came along. How'd He come along? Accidentally?
Nope.
Got married, had children, had adulterous affairs, was homosexual once in a while?
Nope.
All the stuff that's been poured out on you through books and news media and movies and all the idiocy and the sin that the world is full of? No. Birthed by God.
Yep.
Birthed by God. Why? So that He could die for you. Correct or incorrect? Have I got anything out of order here?
Nope.
Birthed by God so He could die for you. Just you?
No.
Nope. What did He die for?
The sins of the world.
The sins of the world. Whoa, where'd you get that? You never believed it before. You never cared about the world. But the truth of the matter is, the sin put us in the world. Jesus is here to take us out of that world.
Amen.
Not just out of your sins, but out of a sin world. He died for the sins of the entire world. Right? So why do we want to limit Him to be just your forgiver or your Savior? I want to walk in a bigger picture. Now, if He did that, and we believe it and we accepted it, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. Let's go home. I wish it were that. I wish you would swallow it that easy. We would go home. There is therefore now no condemnation. To what? To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Right.
Now I'm not gonna go into that. Let me just keep reading. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, not on account of your sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Second time. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace.
Yes.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to read this to you again in a minute. Adam brought sin into a perfect world. Perfection, freedom, joy was replaced by sin nature, or a constant reminder that we are sinners. Let's define sin nature. A constant reminder that we are sinners. What's sin nature? A constant reminder that we are sinners. There's a lot of pulpits that are still full of that today. A constant reminder that you're a sinner. A constant liar. The truth is not in him. A constant reminder that we are less than God designed. That's what you're really told over and over.
Yeah.
Let's don't be technical. Let's just be loose for a second. You're constantly reminded that you're not what God designed. Our minds are not on God, but these sins. In other words, our minds are on fleshly things, not spiritual things.
That's right.
Therefore, we're not pleasing God. To those that please God.
Amen.
How do you please God? Don't be carnal, be spiritual. Yes. Don't think on things of the flesh, think on things of the Spirit.
Amen.
So you're not to sit there and think about your sins. You're not to sit there and think about other people's sins. You're not to think about sin nature. You're not to think about all the bad things that you've done that keep you out of blessings of God. You are to think about what God did in Jesus Christ by the Spirit. That's all you're to think about. Anything else? Even if it's a little old fact like I'm tired, no, you're not. You're forgiven. You can run, not be weary, and walk and not faint. That don't sound like tired people to me. Keep our minds on the things of God, not on the things of man. If we are to ever get back to God, we must be forgiven. What was Jesus' veil? We studied this recently.
His flesh.
His flesh was his veil, right? Yes. Let me tell you something. That even when he became the sinner for the entire earth, he took the sins of the entire earth on himself. He kept his mind on things of the Spirit.
That's right.
He had to please God, so he kept his mind on things of the Spirit, not on those sins. Somebody boo him. He needs to hear this as bad as anybody does. There's life going on here. If we're to ever get back to God, we must be forgiven. Not only for the things that I did, but the things that Adam and all before me have done. Can you be forgiven for the things Adam did?
Yes.
You've got to be, because you can put yourself in that garden and take advantage of the same thing Adam did. And you know you can. The spirit of the enemy is faithful to tell you that. If we believe that Jesus died for all sins, then we must be released from all sins.
Yes.
Well, I wish I saw yes in every face. But what I see is remembrance of things past. Did Jesus die for all sins?
Yes.
Then did he selectively forgive us of sins, or was it all of them?
All of them.
All of them past, all of them present, all of them future.
Yes. Sea of forgetfulness.
I've been in some sea. You know how deep the sea is. I can promise you this, you can't go there. And if your sins are where you can't go, then why are they yours?
They're not. They're gone.
Ooh, you can't retrieve them either.
You can't get them. You can't even send the rover down to get them. Because once they get there, they're as far as the east is from the west, so they can't be found where they're supposed to be.
Right.
He did a double hiding place for your sins and mine.
Wow. Praise God.
Depth of the sea, far as east is from the west. So you cannot chart, map, plot, or seek.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the
Lord.
The enemy doesn't want you to know that.
Amen.
He wants you to think that it's all right to dredge them up. You know how you can dredge? Most of us dredge them up. We bring back other faces. He brings back other faces. He puts other formulas in. See, here's the thing. The reason you are like you are is because of this other situation. Now you have the right to the sin.
Nope. It's not the truth.
It's not the truth. I'm forgiven.
That's right.
You know there's things that you don't know about that you need to be forgiven for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how in the world are you ever going to take care of that if you don't know about it?
Amen.
Well, you weren't supposed to take care of it. You were supposed to turn that all over to your Father.
That's right.
In Jesus Christ, they were all taken care of, even of those things you don't know about.
That's right. That's the truth.
Amen.
I'm forgiven. When the blood of Jesus was spilled, it washed not only all of my sins, past, present, and future, but the blood sacrifice cleansed all sin and all guilt from my life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now, there are some things, or people, that you've done some things to do to that you wish you could go back and take care of. No! You're forgiven.
Amen.
When they come up, no, they're forgiven. See, now it's not about you anymore, it's about the world. You don't understand how the world can stay in bondage because of our memories brought up by the enemy. Because if I can forgive me for doing that, then I can forgive that or them for doing that to me.
Yes.
I've been hurt by people. They didn't even know I was hurt. I'm forgiven.
Right.
Yeah.
But you didn't do it. I said, I'm forgiven.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't ask you who did the sin. I said the sin is forgiven.
Yeah.
All-encompassing, all-directional, forgiven. In my spirit, I am pre-Adamic.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In my spirit, I am pre-Adamic because I'm forgiven.
That's right.
My world is pre-Adamic. Amen. Cool of the day. Garden of Eden. No sin, no guilt, no need to think or worry about sin nature.
Right.
What's sin nature? Poverty, sickness, disease, what somebody else is going to do to me or not do for me. Lack, wants, need. I have a new cleansed nature. Listen to this word. Fixated on the Father.
Hallelujah.
It is not fixated on your problems or mine. Fixated. Do you understand what that word means?
Yes.
I mean, that's as close to addicted as I can get. Fixated on the Father. By and in the Spirit.
Yes.
Now we're going to read Romans 1:8 again. 1 through 8. Romans 8, 1 through 8.
Yes.
I'm forgiven.
Yes.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you don't ever learn another scripture in the Bible, that's a pretty good one to start and stay with. Because the enemy is going to be faithful to try to steal that from you. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That means I don't care what your flesh or my flesh or the enemy is trying to tell me, I am fixated on the Spirit.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free.
Right.
From the law of sin and death. So when the father of all sin comes to me and tries to speak to me in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I reject him no matter what with I am forgiven.
Amen.
The law of life in Christ Jesus is I am forgiven.
Amen.
For what the law could not do in that it was weak through flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. Not your sin.
Right.
All sin.
Amen.
On the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh.
Right.
That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Now listen to me. God put requirements by the law on this earth.
Right.
They didn't go away. They were fulfilled in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He filled it. In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Understand again, what that means is you don't listen to the enemy talk to you about sin.
Amen.
Not yours, not Adam's, not Moses, not your neighbor's, not your ex-best or your next best. You don't listen about sin. You listen about forgiveness.
Yes.
That's the difference between walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. How do we know when you or me or anybody else is walking in the flesh? Their minds are set on things of the flesh. Very confusing time right now to understand the things of the flesh. Because the sinful world preaches forgiveness. But they preach it this way. Nobody's accountable for anything. God never teaches it that way. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To listen to the suggestion that you are not forgiven in any way is death.
Yes, that's right.
You can't touch it. You can't be near it. You can't allow it to come up in your mind. You've got to come against it with everything that's in you.
Yes.
At the least little suggestion that you are not forgiven.
Right.
At the least little suggestion. That you're not forgiven. By the way, you're going to have the suggestions. Until you are out of this thing called flesh, that suggestion is going to come to you continually. But to the spiritually minded is life and peace. How do you know when people are spiritually minded? They're looking forward to this thing called life, and they're full of peace in the process. They're not worried. They're not worried about tomorrow. Because in here, tomorrow's forgiven also.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not even there yet, and I'm already forgiven.
That's for me.
Good, yes.
I'm not even there yet in this world, and my world is already forgiven.
Right, amen.
I can be caught on a beam and get a fine, and I'm forgiven. Tomorrow. Yesterday. Today. I don't have to take care of all of this. What I need to do is say, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. See, if you're going to not listen to what I'm going to say, then you still have the right for all poverty, sickness, and disease,
right.
All lack, want, and need. You don't get a partial package. It's not an option. You get nothing or you get it all.
Amen.
Wow.
I didn't say that maturity didn't change things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what I'm teaching you here today is that Jesus never paid a partial price. God the Father never had a partial plan.
That's right.
That's why so many are sick and weak among you and die prematurely. Because you don't rightly discern the body that God has put here.
Amen.
Why do Christians die early? Because they don't get all the salvation package. They're not. They refuse to understand that the root of all death are all sin. Death. The root of all death is sin.
Right.
Even if it's in the form of cancer, our heart problems. The root of it. We've been studying that. Last Wednesday night we studied that in detail, studying the word spirit. The root of all death is in sin. Therefore, if I am forgiven, I do not have the root of death in me.
Amen.
Don't suggest it. I'm not even going to go ask somebody to give me their opinion.
Amen.
Here's the other part of this. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now listen, the carnal mind. Do you have a carnal mind?
No.
Do you have the mind of Christ, or do you have the mind of the world? Which, do you have a carnal mind or what?
I have the mind of Christ.
That's all right. She's forgiven.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do to ever touch her. I mean, she's forgiven. I'm telling you, this scripture says that you do not have to have a carnal mind. Listen, I'm getting some freedom here. You guys need to get some too. Because I was taught that I had a carnal mind, but that's a lie. I don't have a carnal mind. I've been born again with the mind of Christ.
Yes.
It cannot be carnal.
Amen.
I refuse to allow it to dwell on carnal things.
Come on.
I'm going to dwell on those things that are the Spirit. The main number one thing being, I am forgiven.
Amen.
The enemy says, yeah, but what about this problem? What about that problem? What about that problem? No. See, you did this and you did that, so you're... I'm forgiven.
Man.
That guy's dead. That's right. Last Sunday, 3:30 in the morning, I was fretting and worrying. I woke up fretting and worrying, out of a dead sleep and worry. And out of that came a voice says, you are forgiven. Duh! Thank you, Spirit. Come on. He says, you don't understand. You're forgiven. And just like all revelation, revelation comes beyond words. You cannot put that in words. But all of a sudden, with that second statement of you are forgiven, a big, huge picture came to me, and I was forgiven. Was you born again? No. The revelation of forgiveness came into me. Not like I've been taught before, like God wants me to understand. I don't care if you're happy with this message or even pleased to agree. I don't care. I'm forgiven.
That's right.
I'm forgiven. On unforgiveness. I'm not going. If you're there, I'm not going with you. Don't tell me that you have the right to some kind of disease because your parents had the right. You're born again. You don't even have any parents anymore.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. We receive curses unto ourselves because of this suggested sin nature. If you have sin nature, then you have the right to curses. Do you have the right to curses?
No.
No, you really don't. Being forgiven means that you are now in Christ Jesus. Then don't be taking the curses into Christ Jesus. He don't appreciate that at all.
Amen.
You have the mind of Christ. Don't be thinking on those dumb things. Don't allow the world. Listen to me. Don't allow a tsunami or an earthquake in Indonesia or anything else ever say to you it was because of sin.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
I don't even want to go there. Because what that does is that's a huge picture of what's being going to presented to you right down in here. If you don't block that, it's coming to you.
That's right.
You see, in God's mind, the entire earth is forgiven. All we have to do is open the door and walk in. Here's the problem. We place sin nature higher than the justification and forgiveness that Jesus gave us. Come on.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
You need now to say, that's me and I'm forgiven.
That's me and I'm forgiven.
That's us. That's what I've been taught. That's what I've heard all my life. And I'm on it. I'm spit it out. I curse that curse. I will not place the sin nature above the power of God. My goodness, what a stupid thing.
Amen.
How could I be so stupid? I'm forgiven. It's okay.
Yeah.
See, I can be stupid and forgiven.
Right.
Because if I'm forgiven, the nature of stupidity is going to be driven out.
That's right.
That's another thing we studied Wednesday night, where wisdom and understanding comes from. We do this from poor training. My people perish from lack of knowledge. Low self-esteem. How could you be low self-esteem if your father's God?
You can't.
I don't even know how you do that. You're so far above Paris Hilton, it's unbelievable. She is dog spit compared to who you are. Bill Gates, he's got a little piece of what God has. And you're an heir to God, not to Bill Gates.
Amen.
He's dog snot compared to who you are. When we are forgiven, we become who God says we are.
Yes.
Not what ourselves or others say we are. Well, you're just a hot-tempered, shut up, I'm forgiven. You don't know me very well. The problem is we don't truly believe what God says. The reality is He thinks more of us than we think of us. Richard, that was a funny face. You want me to say that again?
Yes, sir.
He thinks more of us than we think of us.
That's right.
Whose opinion do you want to receive?
Yes.
Okay. God truly knows what this forgiveness has done in us and for us. Listen to me again. God truly knows what this forgiveness has done in us and for us.
Amen.
We need His ideas. And He spends time such as this to convince us of that very thing. Now listen. I am forgiven of my sins. Okay, you need to say that, I guess, because you didn't get it. I'm forgiven of my sins.
I'm forgiven of my sins.
Past, present, and future.
Past, present, and future.
By whose design?
By God's.
By God's design. Not by my wishes.
Right.
Okay. I am forgiven of the world's sins.
I'm forgiven of the world's sins.
You know how we get caught up in that? It's subtly.
Yes.
It's so subtle. You're a young, tender person in your heart. And a flake like Bill Clinton comes up and says, I did not have sex with that woman. Do you know what we just taught the world? Your children start to learn it. Your friends start to learn it. That I can lie about things and it's okay. I am not forgiven if I lie about things.
That's right.
Because the truth is not in me. If the truth was in me, I wouldn't lie about those things.
Yeah.
Subtle, subtle, subtle. Where does it lead? Where does this kind of nonsense lead? See, you take your children to one side and you say, this little sin leads to now the one where the couple videotapes the raping and the murder of other women with a clear conscience. It's fun. It's fun. It has become fun. These people enjoyed what they did. To a normal human, forget a human. I can only understand men. I don't understand women. But to a normal man, to see a woman beaten would kill any avenue of an erection.
Right.
It would be an impossible thing.
Right.
Not with 14 Viagras.
Amen.
And yet, this subtle sins turn into such a great thing that what you and I, normal people, would consider terrible becomes thrill. Very fine line. Subtle. If I don't walk in the thing that God gives me, I'll walk in the thing that the enemy gives me.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry about the frankness, but we need to understand the importance of forgiveness. I'm forgiven for my sins, and I'm forgiven for those sins that I see on the TV and read in the newspaper and hear on the radio. I'm forgiven. And I'm not going to take part in that. And I'm going to be ill when I hear about it. And I'm going to be ill every time I hear about it. And I'm not going to get hard to it. But I'm going to be forgiven the whole time. And I'm going to wish they were forgiven. And if given a chance, I'll testify or I'll witness to what forgiveness will do for them. But I will not enter in.
Amen.
I've already entered in as deep as I can enter in. There is no deeper thing than forgiveness. There's no other place to go except backwards. Praise the Lord. I told you it was big. You need to act like it is.
It is.
I'm forgiven for the nature that Adam put into the world. I'm forgiven for the nature that Adam brought into this world. That's right. And if I'm forgiven, Richard, I have no responsibility.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Nope. I'm forgiven. Adam was a doofus. I don't care. I'm forgiven. I may have See, the world tried to pass down some doofus blood cells from Adam. God eliminated that by being born again.
Amen.
So I'm not responsible. Richard, you're not responsible for what comes to your door. The enemy will tell you you are. Make you afraid by what somebody might be able to do to you. What a lie. I'm forgiven. You know if I'm forgiven, I'm bulletproof.
That's right.
No, you do. You're not a wannabe. You're one of them get her done type people. Okay. Here's some truth for you. The world and its nature is no longer mad at me. You listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. The world and its nature is no longer mad at me. Because I have nothing to do. You understand if I don't have anything to do with somebody, they can't be mad at me? They can be mad, but they can't be mad at me. I'm not available. That one needs to get a hold of you. Because I'm forgiven, I commune with God at all times, no matter what the feeling is.
Man.
Did you ever eat when you didn't feel like eating? I have. I felt because I thought it was I needed to. In fact, with me, the less I eat, the more I don't want to eat.
Amen.
The hunger nature goes away.
Right.
And that's not right. I mean, it's not what God designed. So sometimes you eat when you don't want to. Well, this is it, man. When I am forgiven, I commune with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture actually says. I commune with the Holy Spirit even when I don't feel like I'm worthy or it's time or I'm clean enough or I'm dressed right or I've performed like I should today. I am forgiven. Gives me the key to commune.
Yeah, thank you. Just thank you, Father.
I'm not responsible for somebody else's sins. Listen, when you walk in this position and you see as many people leave as we've seen leave, the enemy harps on me constantly about it's my fault. Of course, I know it's your fault. There you go. That's it, right there. That's what you need to say every time. It can't be true because I'm forgiven. But I'm a get-her-done type of guy, and when it's not getting her done, I like to take condemnation. It gives me direction. Rather than the Spirit giving me direction, I sometimes allow condemnation to give me direction, which is the wrong direction.
Yes, that's right.
Amen? Amen?
Yes.
I am not responsible for somebody else being dumb.
Amen.
The last person that I was very familiar with left here, went out into adulteries and whoredoms. It isn't my fault.
That's right.
It isn't your fault. We're forgiven.
Yeah.
It's the person that did its fault, and they're going to pay for it, or they're going to get forgiven. Only two choices. You're going to pay or you're going to get forgiven.
Yeah.
I'm not going to condone what you did. Doesn't mean I have to eat it and drink it. And you hear me?
Yeah.
We got to be wise as serpents.
Yeah.
Harmless as doves. That means I need to know what's right and wrong and I don't do anything about it. I don't mean nothing. You understand? But it means that I don't enter into sin because somebody else enters into sin. I walk into forgiveness.
Amen.
Sleep like a baby. I am vindicated. I am released. Remember the definitions we had last time? Some of you didn't hear that. Let me just quickly tell you what they are. See, I carry last week's in case I don't go long enough. I'll start over on that one. The word forgive is to free fully, relieve, release, dismiss, let die, pardon, or divorce. That's the words. That's what forgiven means. I'm pardoned. If I was guilty, I'm pardoned. If I was married, I'm divorced. You know, sometimes it feels like we're married to sin and we can't get out of it. No. Divorce decree, it takes care of it.
Yes. Amen.
I'm free fully. Now, we got enough time to read some scripture so that you'll hear. Romans 5. We're going to go backwards and take the good stuff now. Romans 5, verse 8. Now, you remember what I told you about vindicate? It's just stepping out there and saying to the world with proof.
Yeah.
It's like when you know what the accuser does. He accuses.
Right.
Do you know what what's Jesus?
Advocate.
You know what my advocate does? Vindicates.
Right.
What do you mean he's not? I did it! You can't tell me he's not. That's what Jesus does. Listen, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
That's right.
That's the way it was.
So you got to know that it was before you were born.
Yep.
Because it was done before you were born.
Right.
Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him.
Much more.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
Much more.
In other words, we're not saved by our life.
That's right.
We're saved by what He did, not what we did.
That's the truth.
And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Yes.
What is reconciliation?
Atonement.
Atonement brought back to relationship?
Restoration.
Huh?
Restoration.
Made
correct.
Made correct, made even, made... We owed a debt, it was paid.
Yes.
Anytime you reconcile a checkbook, what is it? What do you do?
Balance.
You balance it on both sides. Tanya's been there. Quickly. Now, the cool part about this is that there was a debt that had to be paid.
Yes.
And over here, there wasn't enough to pay it.
Yep.
Jesus walks in and wipes it clean.
Amen.
By what? By paying the debt that could not be paid. It's listen, when the debt is paid, how can you go back and pay it again?
You can't. It's erased.
Well, then, why do we spend so much time in guilt and condemnation when it is not there? It's been erased. That's called reconciled. The debt was paid. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world. You got this? He's going to say it several times, so don't get bored with repetition. You need to understand. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, want, through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sinned.
Mm-hmm.
For until now the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. We could stay there. Let's not do that. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was made to come. What does that mean? Type of him who made to come. All men. Right? Adam was a type of all men. But look at this. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offenses many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of just one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many.
Much more.
Well, enough to cover everything. Every man, woman, and child that had ever been born, ever will be born. Because why? Because the debt was paid.
More than enough.
The bill was presented. Do you understand that Satan went to God and said, "See, they've done it. There is no return. The debt can't be paid." God says, "You don't know squat. You think you're smart? I'm going to show you you're not." And in one stroke of Jesus Christ, the debt was removed. There was one sin that created the death. One man that erased the debt. Therefore, what did He erase? The sin.
The entire world.
Listen, that's nearly too simple. One sin created was the root of all sin. One debt erased the root. Therefore, there is no more sin to those that are forgiven.
Amen.
Too simple? It is almost too simple. That's why He repeats it so much in here. The gift, verse 16, is not like that which came through the one sin. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. See, only sin can bring condemnation. If you have any condemnation,
right,
you're still messing around in sin.
Right.
You're not forgiven yet. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification.
Yeah.
Now, not only is the sin erased, you're presented to the world by your advocate, proving that you're now forgiven.
Vindicated.
You were brought into a court and proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that therefore that offense should have never been applied to you, therefore it no longer exists. That's called forgiven. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now we're not only justified, we're not only reconciled, we're righteous. Still by the one man. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now listen, one more added thing. You have a right to life.
Yes.
Not living. You don't have a right to your heartbeat. That's a gift from God. But as long as that heart beats, you have the right to life, and that more abundantly.
Amen.
Because I'm forgiven. I don't have the right to worry. That's outside the bounds of life.
That's right.
I don't have the right to die from cancer. It's outside the bounds of life.
That's right.
I'm forgiven. That means I'm healed. I'm full of life.
Amen.
Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many are made righteous.
Yeah.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more.
Yeah.
Think that still works, or did it peter out somewhere?
Nope.
Still
works.
Still works, doesn't it? 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hey,
now let's go to chapter 5. Let's go back up to verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, now we're justified.
Right.
How?
By faith.
By believing. You're going to believe what I tell you this morning, right?
Yes.
You're going to believe it. You're going to base your whole life on this stuff.
Yes.
Then you're justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Why would we need to stand if we were already walking in grace? Because the enemy comes along and says you're not. So you have to stay in grace by standing in grace. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The way you stay there is you stop worrying and you start rejoicing in being forgiven.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
I'm forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Drop back down to chapter 8 again. Let's go back to 31. Verse 31, chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things?
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the key. What are you going to say about this? You got to say yes or no. And you got to say it all the time.
That's right.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
Nobody.
I'm forgiven. So what is there to approach? And what do you think you have to approach with? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
He will.
All things.
All things.
Wrapped up in forgiveness.
Yes.
You get all things with forgiveness. You lose all things if you don't receive the forgiveness. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Well, first you have to decide, are you God's elect?
Yes. I am.
All right. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and therefore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Sure.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Nobody.
Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?
Nope.
All right, 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 38 and 39. Now you are persuaded. So you must say, I am persuaded. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us?
Nothing.
Me.
Yep.
My doubt, my unbelief is the only thing that can separate. No warfare, no created thing, nothing. God wants me to know now and forever that I'm free. I'm free from all penalties. Y'all write down there, free. Free from all penalties. See, when I'm born again and the slate is erased, I am free of all penalties. In a bankruptcy case, you can be freed from penalties, but you are not loosed into abundance. This isn't bankruptcy. This is the debt paid. So there can't be penalties.
That's right.
The difference is, while I am in, when I finally decide to be forgiven and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything is erased, I also know that there's a deposit put in my account. It's called abundance, health. Why? Because that's who God is. And I'm an heir to God. It's the only, listen to me, it's the only thing that I can get. The only thing I can catch is God. The only thing that I can suffer is God. I'm free from penalties. I'm free from guilt. And I'm free from obligations that are too heavy for me to carry. The enemy loves to put obligations on us. But I'm free.
Amen.
I cast my cares upon Him. That's part of my inheritance.
Yes.
It's who I am. I'm free. Second, forgiven. I am forgiven from all requirements of sin. I'm not just forgiven from sin. I'm forgiven from all requirements of sin.
Amen. Yes.
Do you know sin has requirements?
Yes.
If you don't believe that, you watch people that are in sin. The sin is eating them alive. That is the cancer. It takes your life and replaces it with another form that's perverted. That's cancer. I'm forgiven from all requirements of sin. The requirements of sin are sickness, disease, poverty, death, suffering, worry. I am forgiven.
Amen.
From all of those. Yes. I am forgiven from the consequences of sin. Richard, I can introduce you to people that have been saved and their brain is burnt up by drugs. And unless God intervenes, unless we as believers believe for a restored mind, they will suffer all their days from that burn up of sin. But now you listen to me. Who said they're suffering? Who said they're suffering? Let me ask you, that little one right there, not guilty of any sin. Who said she's suffering? She's got sin. We just talked about that from the Adamic nature. Who said she's suffering? Well, so what if she doesn't have the mentality of less than a one-year-old? Who said she's suffering? We like to judge things too much.
Yeah.
We like to put our quantitative values. We like to place a value on people by how they think. Oh, they must be suffering because, oh, shut up. You don't know nothing. God is their Savior. God is their healer. God is the one that determines what they can do and what they can't do. We need to keep our fat noses out of it. The minute I say that man is suffering the consequences of sin, I deny forgiveness. Because the same one that can forgive, Jesus said, rise and walk, your sins be forgiven. That's right. That's what it says. And if he hadn't been healed, it's still for the glory of God. It's not our opinion. It does not take a miracle to get you forgiven. It just takes Jesus. The miracle is that when you believe, it happens to you. That's the miracle. And a lot of times people don't see that. Justified. I'm justified, proven to the world by God through Jesus to be right with God. I'm vindicated, which is cleared of all charges and restored. I'm righteous, which means cleansed and now have the right to commune with God as in the garden. Not just commune, but commune as in the garden. I have a right to be free, not decided by me and not decided by you. I'm just free. Now that we know this, we're required by God to believe in Him and me. Don't miss that part. I'm required to believe in God and me. Come on. You bunch of nuts, let's get screwed on a little tighter here. I'm required to believe in God and me. Why? Because God believes in me. And I am denying the power of God if I don't believe in me. Well, you're egotistical. Hey, who set you up as an all-wise judge? You can tie that outside. I'm going to believe in me. Because God says I need to do that. If I don't, let me say it this way. If I don't believe that I'm vindicated, how could I ever believe that I'm vindicated?
Mm-hmm.
Do you walk like a vindicated person? I agree, all of us, not just him, me, all of us. That's what this is about. God has this opinion. He don't have an opinion. I don't know what I said that for. God has the fact of the matter settled in stone that I'm vindicated. And if I don't walk vindicated, then I don't believe that he's right. He said, I'm righteous. I need to shut my mouth and quit arguing with the one that knows righteous.
Amen.
He said, I'm righteous.
Amen.
He said, I'm healed. Did you know he said that?
Yeah.
Old Testament, New Testament, he said it. And if I don't see myself as healed, then I don't see God as who he is.
That's right.
He can't miss it. Listen, people, he can't miss it, not one bit. You pay better attention than most. He can't miss it.
Amen.
Richard, he can't miss it.
That's right.
And if he says you're forgiven, then you're forgiven.
That's right.
Not except for. If he says you're healed, you got to believe that. 100%. If he says you're vindicated, then you may have to defend that by saying, I'm vindicated.
Right.
Don't ever defend yourself. State the fact. What do you mean by that? Well, you committed a sin 3 years ago. Somebody comes back and brings that sin up to you, and you begin to stand, but you don't understand. I went down to the church, and I prayed, and I prayed to God. Shut up.
Yeah.
You're defending yourself.
Yeah.
You need to say, you don't understand. That's been erased. It wasn't just erased. I was vindicated. That means the accusation was brought out in a court of law. There was proof provided that I was forgiven. Therefore, I'm vindicated.
Amen.
Or, if you really want to know, do it like Paul said. No, I didn't do that. You got the wrong person.
Right.
Oh, man, I was there. I saw you. No, your eyes must deceive you. There's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. So there's got to be something wrong with you. Now, I'm not preaching to you hope.
No.
This is not a hope, a hope, a hope. And I'm going to keep saying it because it sounds so good. That's not what I'm doing. I'm telling you facts.
Amen.
I'm telling you facts. Here's the one rub to this. And it's not really a rub. It's a fact again. That is this. I worry about those people that won't take advantage. It's the only time I worry. It's the only time I'm ever given the right to worry. And that does not bring condemnation. I'm concerned about those people that are not taking advantage of this. Because if they don't take advantage of it, the result is hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's hell. I'm not going to... Listen, can you see me leading somebody into hell?
No.
Well, I can't either, but I need to live that way. What I'm trying to tell you is that the one that I serve and the one that I speak about doesn't know how to lead people to hell.
That's right.
Therefore, I don't know how.
Man.
You need to get that. Listen to that carefully. That means what you have done would never lead somebody to hell. It's not going to happen. Let me tell you how you're covered, because some of you have some hellish ways. I do too. I'm covered by the Spirit of God.
Man.
I'm covered. There's no telling what people see. I'm not responsible for what people see. The Holy Spirit's responsible for what they see. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
The biggest proof in the world I've ever had of that. You've heard this before, and I need to remind you. I'm sitting at an intersection in a car with Paul Lavoie, waiting at a red light for this lane to come and turn. This lane has clearance, an 18-wheeler coming this way, a car comes this way. The 18-wheeler passes right through the car, never touches it. Now, human nature is human nature. It does not believe in miracles. Okay? So the human nature is the question. I'm going, check my eyes. Finally, I got up enough guts to say, Paul, did you just see what I saw? He said, if you saw a truck pass right through a car, I saw what you saw. Well, I knew that there was something about this. I saw it one other time. The exact same thing. An accident that was not an accident. It didn't happen. Why did I need to see that? So that I wouldn't trust in my eyes.
Amen.
So that I trust in the fact that it's up to God the Father to determine how we get someplace, not up to us. There's no telling how many times you and I have pulled right out in front of somebody and there hasn't been a wreck. Now the reason I need to understand that is because now I can say there's no telling how many times I've screwed up with my mouth or with my actions and somebody didn't happen, there wasn't an accident because of it.
Amen.
Okay? Why do you need to understand that? So you'll understand you're not responsible for somebody's eternity. God the Father has provided a way out, provided the Holy Spirit to constantly woo and talk to somebody. Therefore, leave it alone, Stan. Leave it alone. Amen. Now, are you a free-floating nut? You're big and bold and bad and not attached to anything? Not helping anything? Or you got a hold of something? You know what's good about this, being screwed onto the right bolt, is that you can hold somebody else on that way. That's what a bolt is about, to hold somebody else on. Any nut can be attached. Any nut can be attached. We need to be holding something else, somebody else on. Amen? You drive on these every day. You depend on these things. Somebody's depending on you. So you need to be a nut attached to something worthwhile.
Amen?
Amen? Let me remind you, to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Why do you want to... I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me for a moment. Now, I'm hoping we took care of this last week, but I'm not going to take anything for granted. Some of you are awful hard-headed. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Forgiven.
Then your heart's clear. Let me tell you something. When you're forgiven, your heart's clear.
Yes.
Are all hearts clear here this morning? Because we want to pray with you if it's not. We need to get you set free. Come on. If your heart's heavy, get down here. If it's not, then you ought to hoop a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. These two messages are the most powerful things I've ever taught you.
Amen.
I'm going to say like Paul. I'm going to give to you what God gave to me. That's what I've done. I've given to you what God has given to me. It's changing me. Don't be insulted if I tell you I'm forgiven like I'm brushing you off, because I might. I might just brush you off. We need to brush each other up and off. Wash with the words, what it says.
Yes.
Sometimes a good bucket of water in the face is a good thing to get.
Yes.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
You know what else I am? Because I'm forgiven, I'm released from responsibility.
Yes.
I didn't go to some spectacular occasion the other day because I am released from responsibility. I had to make a responsibility for me. Somebody wanted me to give them away. I don't have the right to give anybody away. They belong to me. Besides that, I'm not too sure I want to get it. I don't know what I want, but I'm forgiven.
Amen.
I may not know everything, but I know I'm forgiven. And I know that I'm released from some manipulations and some obligations and those things that put pressure on me. Let me tell you something. You need to be released from all things that God's not putting on you. If God didn't put it on you, get free. And He never puts condemnation.
That's right.
Look at me just for a second. Your happiness doesn't depend on me.
That's right.
And I refuse to allow my happiness to depend on you. Amen. If I'm forgiven, then I'm already happy.
Amen.
Y'all can get on the same cruise ship I'm on, or you can take another one. But this is the cruise I'm taking. I'm forgiven.
Amen.
And I'm going to eat high and live high. And the enemy's going to try to defeat that. And he's already defeated, so he doesn't have anything that I want, so I don't receive anything from him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
All right, then I'm going to assume all hearts are clear. All righty. Well, I know Richard's not going to Joe's Crab Shack. He already heard him yelling.
I'm going where you guys are going.
If you go, you're going to get punished. You got to go to Joe's Crab Shack to understand what we're talking about. They have a knack of embarrassing you on your birthday. Now, if it were me, I'd say no, and I'd expect y'all to honor that. So if Patrick says no, I will honor that.
I'm not going to dance for him.
But you got to do something. You know you got to stand up and dance or do something. So if you say no, that's fine.
Donna trusted us one time on her birthday, and we didn't do anything.
We tried. But...
Not very hard. No, you don't know the word try. I can tell you that right now.
I figure you do.
We honor. Absolutely. 1,000% correct.
People you don't know.
All right.
Actually, the food's good there.
So let's bow our heads and let's commune just for a moment as God solidifies, anchors, tightens that nut. Spirit, deal with us today.
Yes.
That's not a bad thing. That's not even a scary thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I've spent, by your orders, two Sundays now, talking about how to be free. I know that you would have us listen and respond quickly, not over years, but now. Not because of anything except it's good for us, good for the kingdom. We love you, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we love your plan. We honor you right now, Father, by saying yes to everything you've spoken here today. Saying yes to your opinion of us, your knowledge of us, the things that you've done for us. We say yes and amen.
Yes.
So be it in our lives, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Love you, Lord.
Love you, Lord. Trust you with everything. I thank you that your plans for us are greater than anything we can ever think, speak, or ask. We receive that into ourselves now because your word says for us to do that. Your word has provided the provision, and we're just dummies if we don't take advantage of it. And I am not a dummy. I am not a dummy. Say, I'm not a dummy.
I'm not a dummy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe you. God believes you. By faith, we're going to go further than we've ever gone before. Hallelujah. Everybody that agrees with this, please say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.